It's Air Talk on 89.3 KPECC. I'm Larry Mantle. Thanks to those who are sending birthday wishes my way. I really appreciate it. For what it's worth, you know, Howard Stern, Rush Limbaugh, and I all have the same birth date. Not the same year. They're older. But we're all January 12th, which is very strange. We turn our attention to the California budget, where last Friday, Governor Newsom unveiled his $227 billion proposal, including incentives to reopen schools, grants for small businesses, and what he calls a Golden State stimulus, providing $600 checks for lower-income Californians. With us is California politics and elections reporter for the nonprofit news site CalMatters, Ben Christopher. Ben, good morning.
Morning. Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. So let's start with this surplus, because I know that there's been a fair amount of to and fro in the Capitol over how that money should be allocated. How does the governor deal with it here?
Well, I think what really surprised everyone, certainly what surprised me when the governor came out with this budget proposal, is just how flush the state budget is. All told, this budget is $227 billion, which is the biggest, certainly bigger than last year, bigger than I think ever, despite the fact that the economy is not exactly roaring. But nevertheless, the state is sitting on an extra about $16 billion to spend. And so what the governor is proposing is to spend a lot of this on this extra cash on sort of one-off projects. He and his budget team don't want to commit to new ongoing programs because, again, this is $15.5 billion, it's a one-time windfall. It's not like we can count on this year after year. And so despite that very large, maybe unexpectedly large pot of money that the governor is sitting on, they're trying to be a little bit cautious. And so he's proposing a series of immediate term relief measures. So you mentioned the Golden State stimulus is what they're branding it, sending $600 checks to low-income Californians. So this would be on top of the checks that the federal government is now in the process of sending out, includes tax credits and grants to small businesses and nonprofits. And then maybe the most important, or certainly one of the more controversial aspects of the package, is the school reopening plan, providing some funding, not just to help expand summer school programs and longer school days if necessary to make up for the lost learning that we've seen over the last year, but also some $2 billion in grants to incentivize school districts to reopen in the coming months.
We're talking with Ben Christopher, a CalMatters reporter, covers politics and elections here in California. If you have questions for him about the state budget, which I'm sure he's memorized the hundreds of pages and can answer any possible question of minutiae in that budget, 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Seriously, Ben, we should talk a bit about why there is so much more revenue that's anticipated, because one of the knocks on California's tax collection system is it is so heavily tilted toward high-income earners, it's highly volatile. And, you know, whatever happens with the market, with investments, has a huge effect on tax revenue and makes us very susceptible, like the downturn in 2008. But here we have an example of that tilt toward higher income Californians actually benefiting the state, because they're the people that were able to work from home and the stock market has gone crazy.
No, that's exactly right. And it's sort of the good news, of course, is the state is receiving more money than it really anticipated, what it expected when it passed its last budget last June. But this really kind of the fact that we are seeing what turned out to be 22% an increase of in revenues of 22% higher than expected, it is a reflection of just one of the tragedies of this pandemic, which is that it has hit the poorest people in the state the hardest, whereas high earners are largely doing okay for the most part because they can work remotely, they can work from home, and the stock market is not just doing fine, it's doing very, very well. And so because the state, as you said, gets most of its money, or the lion's share of its money, tax revenue from taxing the rich, taxing capital gains, it's been very good news for the state budget. And so what that means, again, is that the state has a lot more money now than it had planned for. So a lot of this really does kind of go back to expectations. When the last budget was passed in June, the governor's office, the legislative analyst's office, they were feeling very pessimistic because, again, we were in such uncharted territory. This new, not only the severity of the economic downturn, but this type of economic downturn where it is really imposed by restrictions in response to a pandemic. And so the presumption was that because the economy was suffering, this would really create this giant drag on tax revenue. But again, because of the nature of the pandemic really hitting low-income Californians the hardest, it hasn't, it's redounded to the benefit of the budget.
We're talking with CalMatters reporter covering California politics and elections, Ben Christopher. If you have questions for him on the state budget, we're at 866-893-KPCC or the AirTalk page, kpcc.org. Of course, this does tag along a bit with our segment earlier on today's program where we were talking about the exodus in California. And the question is whether higher income earning Californians will be among the demographic that leaves. There wouldn't seem to be the same economic impetus for that necessarily. But that's a question, of course, that we'll be paying attention to in the months to come. Ben, let's talk about that funding for school reopening, because you said that's somewhat controversial. In fact, a number of the superintendents of urban districts have come out with concerns about their ability to open because of the health department protocols in those higher population centers. So what happens to the money if the schools can't physically reopen?
Yeah, no, it's a really good question. And I got to give kudos to my colleague, Ricardo Cano, who has covered this extensively. But again, just to back up, the plan here is to offer school districts between $450 and $750 per student if districts submit plans to the state to reopen safely. And this would start with the youngest kids, so TK, transitional kindergarten through second grade by mid-February. So we're talking about a very short timeline, and then third through sixth grade by mid-March. And so as you say, it has really gotten some mixed reviews, to say the least. So superintendents, Austin Buter, LAUSD superintendent, talked to my colleague Ricardo about these plans, and he basically said that the state isn't really providing enough detail about how schools should open safely. And so we would create, in his words, a patchwork of safety standards in the face of a statewide health crisis, is what he said. And then on the other side, you have teachers unions who have really pushed back, saying, look, we're still we're in the third wave now of the pandemic. The state is in a really bad position in terms of COVID cases. It's way too early to be talking about bringing schools, students and teachers back into the classroom. And then on top of that, you also have the Legislative Analyst's Office, which is a nonpartisan independent agency that analyzes spending and tax issues for the legislature. And they wrote, and they have said that the timing of getting schools to submit these reopening plans by the end of the month, probably not feasible in most cases. And the concern, of course, is that even districts who might be willing to take the state up on this option at some point, maybe we'll have to leave the money on the table.
All right. And I guess then the question is what becomes of that money? And so many of the students that are in those school districts in highly dense areas with higher rates of COVID-19 are the ones most challenged by distance learning and don't have as many of resources available to bolster their at-home learning as those in more suburban communities of California. So a big challenge there.
Yeah, that's also another, there's sort of an equity concern that you hear from some quarters saying, well, look, if we make this sort of voluntary on the part of districts, the districts that are going to be able to sort of meet these requirements and get back into the classroom are going to be the ones that already have the best, already have access to those resources, already have student populations that are more advantaged. And so you're just going to exacerbate that inequality. And so that is another concern that you hear.
Ben Christopher of the nonprofit news site CalMatters joining us. He covers California politics and elections. I'm a sustaining member of CalMatters, supporting their nonprofit news gathering because it's an important resource for all of us as Californians. Again, if you have questions for Ben Christopher, we're at 866-893-KPECC. That's 866-893-KPECC. 5722. Dennis in Alhambra asked, Ben, did the governor have any plans announced to create a rainy day fund, especially with the potential for further economic damages as we go through the pandemic?
Yeah, great question. So the one of the surprising things about this budget is it does actually, the state's various reserve funds, it's a rainy day fund. There are also all these other sort of savings accounts that the state maintains. It actually increased, it's projected to increase to about $18 billion. And some of that is, a very small amount of that is based on the discretion of the governor. But a lot of that is just because this is written into the state constitution that when revenue exceeds spending, then a certain amount of that has to go into these reserve funds. And so we are seeing those coffers build back up, which, again, is pretty remarkable going back to the, you know, the budget discussions of last year, of the spring and summer, when a lot of lawmakers were looking at these reserves, looking at a very dire economic forecast and thinking, well, gosh, our reserves are going to be drawn down pretty quickly. And here we are seeing them expand again.
All right. Ben, before I want to let you go, I also wanted to talk about, you know, what this means for other branches of government. You've got the Employment Development Department, which has just been a debacle with handling the claims for unemployment. Is there any increased spending there that's proposed to get their computer systems modernized at all so that they can handle the larger volume of claims?
You know, I thought that that was sort of it was notably absent in the discussion around this budget and in the summary that has been proposed so far. There is some funding for EDD, but there has been a discussion about sort of the ongoing strike force that has been assembled to try and deal with what's frankly been a catastrophe, a giant mess. But not a significant amount of increase in funding as far as I've seen.
Yeah, I mean, that seems kind of strange, doesn't it? Because this has been one of the notable failures of state government, something where that investment is going to have to be made at some point. This isn't the only kind of economic downturn with large numbers of applicants we're going to get in the next 20 to 30 years in California. We can hope and pray, but you know, realistically, we do get events at least approaching this. So why would they not take the money and make that investment in improving that access for Californians?
Yeah, well, so I don't want to misstate things. I mean, there is some funding from the general fund, about $11 million to sort of improve some of that.
Well, $11 million, that's not going to go very far.
Yeah, right. Not going to go very far, I agree. But I think the argument that you would hear from the state is that like a lot of these modernization efforts are underway, and a lot of this comes down to just fixing the system that exists and not necessarily pumping more cash into the program just yet, seeing how the fixes work out. But I am sure we will be hearing about this from legislators and from Californians in the weeks to come, for sure.
James in Van Nuys wonders if there's been any allocation to rent relief. You mentioned the extra $600 monthly checks to low-income Californians. Is there any rent relief as well?
There is rent relief, although at the moment that is all coming from the federal government. And so in his budget proposal last week, the governor did talk about passing along, I don't have the number in front of me, I believe it's $4 billion in rent relief. And so there is sort of discussion with the legislature because that comes from federal COVID relief legislation, whether there needs to be additional legislation or whether the governor can just kind of pass that along. But at the moment, that's all coming from the feds.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it, Ben. Wish you a very good afternoon, and thanks for joining us again on Air Talk.
Thanks so much for having me.
Ben Christopher of the nonprofit news site CalMatters. He covers California politics and elections. Coming up on Air Talk, what new habits have you adopted during the course of the pandemic that you want to keep once we're on the other side of the pandemic, that changes that really have brought additional value to your life and you don't want to lose them? We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. We'll be back in 90 seconds.